Welcome back to Agri Talk, everyone. I am your host, Chip Flory. Thank you so much for joining us today. We've got some good news. We're going to have a conversation right now with Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nagy. Secretary Nagy, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm great. Great to be back, Chip.
Good deal. Good deal. We've also got David Ross, EPA Assistant Administrator for the Office of Water. He is joining us from Washington, D.C. David, thank you so much for making time.
Hey, thanks, Chip, for inviting us on. It's great to be here.
Okay. Now, the important thing is that David and Secretary Nagy are co-chairs of the Gulf of Mexico Hypoxia Task Force. And NOAA just released the latest study. It was out on August 4th. And I tell you what, Secretary Nagy, I like the title that they put on this study, Smaller Than Expected Gulf of Mexico Dead Zone Measured. That's good news.
Well, it is good news. And I think it's important to note that, you got to have a lot of context around this whole issue of the size of the hypoxia zone in the Gulf of Mexico, because, we know, especially folks that are involved in agriculture, know that weather is and will continue to be the dominant issue about what's happening on the land and what leaves the land and what ultimately ends up in the Gulf of Mexico. And so there's two parts to that. One, you can have not enough water or maybe too much water coming downstream. And then, of course, you've got issues of weather in the Gulf of Mexico itself. And this summer, which is not unusual. We've seen some mixing. A hurricane just passed through, and so there's been some churning, and that's absolutely contributed to the reduced size of the zone. I think the big takeaway here, and this is just such an important point to bring home, is this is just one point in time. This is a really interesting data point. It's informative, but it doesn't tell the whole story of what's happening across the entire Mississippi region, the watershed, and states like Iowa, our neighbors all around us that are doing great things, implementing their nutrient reduction strategies. That's the real measurement that we're focused on. But this is always an interesting story to see the actual size.
Yeah, absolutely. Administrator Ross, this snapshot that Secretary Nagy is talking about, what's your take on it? It's the third smallest in 34 years of surveying the size of the dead zone. That's got to be somewhat encouraging.
Well, it's certainly encouraging, and I agree with Secretary Nagy 100%. What I like about it is it forces us to talk about the good things that are happening in the watershed to help get the reductions that we need in the Gulf of Mexico. So, we look at a 5-year rolling window because, each year is a bit different, and when you send the crews out is a bit different. And so, as Mike said, it's a moment in time. But for me, I really like to focus on and the success that we're seeing is with our state partners and our partners in the agricultural community up and down the Mississippi Basin and what they're doing on a daily basis to help us solve local water quality challenges that then will benefit to the regional water quality and ultimately to the entire watershed. And I think that's the focus that Mike and I really have as co-chairs of the Hypoxia Task Force.
Right. Okay. Administrator Ross, when we talk about the dead zone to farmers, they're clued in on what it is, mm-hmm. why it is, how it is. But if you were talking to someone that has never heard of the dead zone before, let's get that quick explanation, kind of that elevator explanation of what the dead zone is so that we get everybody on the same page.
Well, the dead zone, and that's a great way to look at this. The dead zone is effectively an area of low dissolved oxygen. So there's not enough oxygen in the water. And life needs oxygen to survive, even in the aquatic environment. There's some complicated science that goes with it, but the dead zone is an area of the Gulf where the fish species that we like to harvest and fish and some of the aquatic environment can't survive, and so they move out of the zone to try to survive in other regions of the Gulf. And that harms local fisheries, local folks along the Gulf. And so, what is contributing to the dead zone is the amount of nutrients that come down the Mississippi and kind of hit that area and create this environment where you get some algae growth and things like that, and you have a low dissolved oxygen that makes it uninhabitable for certain species.
Gotcha. Okay.
And Chip, yeah. I think an important point here is that this is not a phenomenon that's unique just to the Mississippi River. There are hundreds of these zones in coastal areas all over the world. And so, you know, this is what happens when that river meets a gulf, when freshwater and saltwater, I mean, there's obviously things that are unique to the Mississippi and the Gulf, but don't hear me wrong, but this is not an uncommon phenomenon around the world. I just want to make sure we get that point in too.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Excellent point. And Secretary Nag, all up and down the Mississippi River, farmers have been taking some measures voluntarily to reduce the nutrient runoff. And to me, this is what, and I understand that it's a snapshot in time, but it's encouraging that some of those efforts are working.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just want to build on what David talked about, that, you know, this is about achieving balance up and down that river, right? You know, we should care about what happens downstream. We have an impact on that. And those fisheries are important from an economic standpoint. But we also ask for understanding that we need balance in our approach to things, too. We need to have a productive agriculture and be able to use the river for transportation. And, you know, that economic prosperity should stretch from the top to the bottom of the watershed. And I think that's just an important piece that we all need to understand. That's one of the great values of states getting together in the task force, too, is we have to confront those things. We get to sit next to somebody who's downstream, and they get to hear from us, and that's important. And so that's one piece that I want to make sure we capture. But, you know, you're absolutely right, Chip. We've seen the impact of the effort that's been put forward by states up in the upper reaches of the watershed, you know, implementing our nutrient reduction strategies. I keep saying this, but I don't know of any other way to have the impact downstream than that we want to have than to do the work locally, right? It's to work with landowners. It's to work with cities and industries. It's to do urban conservation work. You know, that's the only way that I know to make the impact is to go and implement practices that are proven to have a positive impact on water quality. And we've never had more effort focused on those things in the state of Iowa. And I know that other states are moving in the right direction as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Administrator Ross, I'm always curious when we see something like this, and and Secretary Nag has seen the efforts on the ground. I've seen the efforts on the ground. When we see something like this, a study like this, the curious part is always, I wonder how DC is responding to this. So when you see this report and see some of the voluntary efforts that are happening out there, what is EPA's take on this?
Well, it's a great question. From my perspective, the thing that has been lacking, I think, in the past is when DC looks at the dead zone in the Gulf, we forget to translate it to what it means on the landscape up in the states and on individual farm fields. And, you know, me as a DC regulator, if I would want to work beneficially with local farmers to help them, you know, improve agronomic rates and, you know, retain more soil on the landscape, you know, because soil is, you know, soil health is their economic health. If I'm talking about the size of a dead zone down in the Gulf of Mexico, and I don't translate it to why it matters to a local farmer in Wisconsin or Minnesota or Iowa, as a DC regulator, no one's going to care what I have to say. And so what I focus on, and quite frankly, nor should they. I mean, because, you know, how am I supposed to tell an individual farmer in Iowa how to run his or her operation, you know, sitting inside the Beltway? I don't know. And so I need to work with the states. I need to work with the specialists like Mike and his team to focus on local water quality improvements that mean good business economic sense to the local farmers. So then they get water quality improvements locally that will then benefit the region and the Gulf. That's my focus. And quite frankly, I don't think DC thinks about it that way enough, to be quite frank.
Man, you're using the right words there. When you start blending in the fact that it needs to make economic sense for the farmers to do this, that's when I start getting on board with a lot of this. And this, some of the efforts that are happening out there, Secretary Nag, they're expensive. It costs money to put in some of these nutrient reduction strategies. Fortunately, there is some cost sharing available, isn't there?
There is. And by the way, can you tell why I like working with somebody like Dave Ross, like I do? Here he has, and he doesn't give himself enough credit. He comes with a state perspective to Washington. He did work in Wisconsin and Wyoming. By the way, don't forget about our old friend Bill Northey, who's over there at USDA. Again, somebody who understands in a very, very real way what it means for states to be active and how states can be innovative and the need to respond to local needs and to use local resources. Again, and I'll be the first to say, there are things that EPA is doing on some other issues that I'm not exactly thrilled about. But on water and the work that Dave's team has done with the Hypoxia Task Force and from a regulatory standpoint with Waters of the U.S. and pieces like that, and his willingness to listen to states and attack the barriers that exist, I love it. And that's that needs to be known, that this EPA on these issues is doing a great job, and they're great partners. And, you know, Dave mentioned it, but, you know, the good news about some of these practices are that they do have a water quality. The water quality impact is in addition to soil health and in addition to things that can be increase our productivity and go to the bottom line, you know, cover crops and no-till. Some of those pieces are things that they prove out economically, and we're excited to continue to show those benefits. You're spot on, though, about some of those practices, those edge of field structures, wetlands. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot of work on wetlands in the state of Iowa, nutrient reducing designed wetlands. They're not cheap, but they have a great benefit to water quality, nutrient reduction, habitat, and even flood mitigation. And we're able to bring those partners together, provide some cost share, and work together predominantly with USDA to bring additional resources. Cool. And that's how we get things done. It's by doing the hard work every day on the ground, and really proud of the, and it's not just my team. It's teams on the in the public sector and the private sector getting things done day by day on the ground.
Got it. Administrator Ross, this report, we've said it a couple of times. It's a snapshot of current conditions. But what does it mean for the effort going forward?
Well, the effort going forward is sustained focus, incremental improvement on an annual basis. That is sort of my motto for big ticket challenges like this. So it tells us, and if my goal is to take a look at the annual data over time, and if the trend is downward, it will, you know, which it will show what we already know is happening on the landscape upriver. And so it's a nice reminder that we're moving in the right direction. But if you look at it only every couple of weeks on an annual basis, sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down, and you lose sight of the real action, which is out in the landscape. And so my focus going forward, as long as I'm in the seat, is to really partner with the local farmers, the agricultural departments, the state water quality departments, to do landscape work that matters, that makes sense in the environment in which you use it, economically and environmentally. That's my focus, is just what can we do every day to make things a little bit better, and over time it will get better.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Secretary Nag, what have I missed?
Hey, we're going to continue to work together up and down the river to do the things that make sense. If we do the things that make sense locally, we'll impact our local water bodies, and that ultimately will have that impact downstream. So we're just, you know, we're encouraged. We all want to make progress faster, and there's some really innovative things happening, some creative approaches. This is an exciting time. I'm really we've done good work together, but there's a lot of ways to accelerate this work that we're just getting into. So I think that's the fun thing about it, and that's the exciting thing that I'm really anxious to get into these things work over the coming years.
And we are keeping it voluntary. It to me, that is so important, that our farmers are doing what they can to A, fix what has become a problem, and to get out in front of regulatory action that would mandate something, right?
Well, absolutely. And that's our perspective. You've got states that will approach things differently, and that's okay.
we get to see how those things play out, right?
Yeah.
Some states are requiring certain practices. Some states on their point
okay.
source, their wastewater and stormwater, are doing different things. That's okay. That's how states work. That's that's our great
yes.
country at work. And the experimentation, the laboratories across the state. In the state of Iowa, we are absolutely focused on non-regulatory approaches. And we know that there's a lot of work that's still yet to be done. But Chip, I have to tell you, there's never been as much work. There's never been as many resources, as much funding, as many partners, and as much awareness on these issues as there is today in the state of Iowa. And we know that there's still a tremendous opportunity to do more. So that's our focus. Let's get ahead of that regulatory curve, and let's show that these non-regulatory approaches work. That's, again, we're using the language, let's build a culture of conservation, not a culture of regulation. That's how we'll see the lasting change that we want.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Good stuff. Hey, thank you so much for your time. David, it was good to talk with you, and hopefully we can have a conversation about water down the road.
Yeah, I'm happy to get on anytime you want me to. It's been a pleasure, and it's always great to jump on with Mike. He truly value both working with them and our friendship, and the relationship between EPA and the states is fantastic. So I appreciate you having us on.
Absolutely. That's David Ross, EPA Assistant Administrator for the Office of Water, and of course, Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nagy. Thank you, Mike.
Good to talk with you, Chip. Take care.
All right. Yeah, together they are the co-chairs of the Gulf of Mexico Hypoxia Task Force.